To things like this, you can always trust the British. They always come up with something super duper. It was nice to watch. Yes, one also reflected and hopes that one day we will be able to put up a spectacle, you know, where everybody sat down. You know, there was no shuffling. When silence was needed, there was dead silence. You could see discipline, and there were no exceptions to any rule. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew where you were going to sit, what time you should arrive. Ironically, the gentleman who didn't arrive at the time he was expected was the American president. And guess what? They stood him aside. The American president, they told him, please step aside for a minute. These guys are going to walk in. After they have gone up to a point, then we will allow you in. You know, and it was for those of you who are used to, who are quite conversant with British politics, it was sad to see Prince Andrew. He couldn't put on his military uniform. It's these things are significant. In his own case, it was punishment. In the case of Harry, who also couldn't wear his military uniform, it was a self-inflicted injury. And I kept asking myself, I wonder what's going through their minds. You know, but all said and done, it was a good thing to see, and we thank God for His mercies that we're all able to enjoy. Like I said, if you had seen it yesterday, by now you won't be in the office. Death could not hungry you.
No, yes, no way. It's not going to happen.
But why you should have asked? You should have asked why death not hungry me. You know. I actually at some point, you know what it also did?
Yeah.
Sometimes I started reflecting that. So this is it. Oh, not really now. Whatever you do,
this woman
is not going to wake up with all what the listed as the assets that she has. I didn't see her go with any, you know, with nothing. I just saw the nothingness in life, according to Ibn Augusto, when he died. He says, last words were the nothingness in life. There's nothing in this world. She had everything and went alone.
Mm.
You know, and I hope we all learn lessons from that.
Indeed. Let's go to the Vanguard. Page 6 of the Vanguard has a story here that reads, auctioned vehicle, mother's son received over 1 million naira donation from public.
Yeah, okay, so this story has to do with the auction that took place of the cars that were seized according to the laws set up by the Lagos State government after trial. The major part of the story is that it has been reported that the PDP candidate, Jandor, you know, paid a visit to those who were affected, and it says in this story here that he also gave them money and promised that when he becomes governor, he will be more humane. I think it is the worst political move anybody could ever have made, and it shows a lack of very strong discipline in the PDP candidate to have done this. It's unethical, it's untidy, it should never have happened. On this issue, I stand with Governor Sanwo-Olu to the hilt. Lagos needs a very disciplined governor who is ready. We need a Rambo to deal with the jungle we are living in. And we have been putting Governor Sanwo-Olu under a lot of pressure to apply the laws. For as long as they are applied fairly and equally across the board, I stand with him. If Jandor thought that, okay, the punishment was too heavy, it is so easy. He could even have made it a campaign material. Mm-hmm. But that symbolic visit to these people, as if Sanwo-Olu had injured them, or as if he had meted out some injustice to them, I don't subscribe to that. And it's a weak, it shows a flaw in this gentleman called Jandor. It shows a flaw, and this is the second one I'm noticing that's giving me some doubts. You know, I'm sorry to say that, but I have to be objective. I think it was unfair. I think it lacks that discipline that you expect from a leader. Okay? Tough decisions have to be made. So is he going to be pandering to people's sentiments? Look at the problem we have in the environment, traffic, and whatever, is lack of discipline. Ted Mukoro, the mother of Ted Mukoro, the father of Angela Adetumobi, famous Ted Mukoro, lost his wife to this incident. a driver coming one way in Maryland, and he killed the poor woman. Many people have been killed, maimed, injured because of this indiscipline. Why would any rational adult who is properly licensed, pick my words carefully, drive against traffic? And in any case, the law was not retroactive. The law had been put in place. Maybe some people thought that the governor was joking. And I am glad he took that step. I stand with him on this. I think Jandor should be very careful. There is a limit to which what you should do to pander to public sentiment just because of votes. I'm highly disappointed in him. Highly. I expected much, much better from him. And I urge Governor Sanwo-Olu to do more. But do it justly and let us have a proper spread. Let us have a proper spread. It's not that you would be doing it to the common man and the VIPs will be getting away with it. No, that is where people's action needs to come to play. If you see any VIP vehicle, they won't even have numbers, so what do you do? But if you can catch their numbers, take the photograph, send it to us, we'll send it to him, and then see what he does. But in the meantime, I'd like to beg politicians all around, do not deceive our people because of votes. I repeat, do not, all this, what is the word that I use? The say which one? Now, if I knew the word,
you use so many words.
All this hyping of things, hyping and positioning. You need deep thought in the things that you do. We are yet to see the value of the deputy governor candidate that he chose. We are yet to see the real value in terms of political whatever. He needs to be careful, and he should start getting ready to be told the truth by people like us. So I stand with Governor Sanwo-Olu on this, and I hope he keeps it up. He should apply the same thing to the environment. It should apply the same thing. By the way, we still don't have a name as to who owned the building that went down in Oniru. We still don't. Has he been arrested? What has happened? He should tell us. But in this one, I stand with him.
Well, Jandor said that he is not against the law, that the law is right, the law is spot on, but that there are some aspects of the law that should be reviewed. In the case of one of the men, the man had gone to prison for 3 months. His car was impounded. Then he lost his 3-year-old daughter while he was in prison. So according to him, there could have been some kind of mercy or something.
No, he didn't do his homework. The man could not have gone to prison alone because he drove in the opposite direction. Maybe he ran into somebody. Those are two charges. You understand? The law says if you drive against one way, your vehicle will be seized.
That's right.
So if he went to prison for... It's probably an added something. And then I'm sorry that he lost his daughter, but I don't see the correlation in what we are saying. I'm honestly sorry that he lost his daughter. I don't wish that it should happen to him, but I want to concentrate on the issue. He drove against one way, his car was seized and auctioned. All of us knew this law. We know this law. So the car has been auctioned. Whether he went to prison, it could be for another thing. Maybe as he went to prison, like I said, you could have 4 charges. Okay, so maybe he went to prison. I don't know the details on that and drove one way. Don't let's use sentiments to spoil something that is necessary. Sheriff, we need strong discipline. You need to see what Danfoss and things are doing. We need strong discipline. In fact, they should take some of them for mental evaluation. Why would you go one way? Why would you want to do that? My only quarrel with the government is that I didn't see any expensive vehicle there, maybe the commissioner, your friend, you tell him to give you the list.
Okay.
Let us see. But it is important that you also make examples of the elite. The most guilty are the elite and Danfo. Look at the two ends of the spectrum. The ones in between, elegbejegede, like people like you and I, we go our own way quietly. I don't want any wahala. Part of the problem also is that the process by which licenses are given out, in spite of all efforts that have been made to make concretize the process and make it more this thing, we said go to driving school. Instead of the driving school to take you lessons, they sell the certificate for 5K. Abioton. So you have loads of people. They have licenses. They can't even read the traffic signs. The road signs. They don't know what it means.
Yeah, we have a lot of housekeeping to do in that area, really. It's 7:44. If you're just tuning in, you're welcome. You can watch us live on Facebook. If you want to watch, you can also watch on YouTube as well. Just type in Nigeria Info 99.3 on those platforms and you'll be able to watch us live. And drop your comments as well. Let's stick with the Vanguard, page 4 this time. 2023 presidential candidates, spokesmen must run issue-based campaigns.
Yes, I think this is extremely important. And I'd like all of us to have a resolve that, you know, we will only listen to issue-based campaigns. There's too much debt out there. There's too much concentration on the other candidates. What the other candidate is doing or not doing, there's too much emphasis on that. Tell us what we look, the part that interests us really is moving forward. What is your action plan? I'm not even interested in manifestos. I've told you, de-emphasize the issue of manifestos. There are documents put together. There is one of the candidates now is having a problem. Somebody, he's been accused of stealing a manifesto. Somebody that he wrote a manifesto, the guy used it without giving him credit. And so there's nothing wrong in getting people to put a manifesto together. Let me quickly clear that. But most of them don't even understand what's in the document. It's like what they tell us in Lagos. There's a Lagos action plan. Nobody can see it online. You don't know what it is. We have summit upon summit. We don't know what plan it is. But you say, oh, we are following the action plan. No. But what we need from candidates this time around is a well-documented, dated, and concretized action plan. Because we are in a crisis. There's no time for meandering. There's no time to learn on the job. We are in a big crisis. We need somebody who is healthy, very healthy, who is versatile, who can take this project on hands-on. You understand what I'm saying? So we need, that's what we need. We don't need all these talking about, oh, in this one said, no. Once the person is qualified, I'm not even, like somebody said, I won't mention her name because a very famous person said, we will not even talk about the issue of corruption because who can cast the first stone? So we won't even talk about corruption. Let us now see what you can even do. What can you do? Are you physically fit? Are you mentally fit? You know? And like I said, Nigeria needs a president that can take the country hands on. Yes, you delegate, but you have to keep your eyes on the track. You can see where we've been now for the past 8 years or so. You can see the center is not holding. We can't afford that anymore. Okay, we can't afford that anymore. So the politicians are pledging. Lawan is worried that we've shifted from core issues of governance to attack on personalities. Gbajabi Amila says that campaign slogan must not be abusive. Okay, that's his own take. Reverend Kuka says that we need a country that gives a sense of belonging to all Nigerians. Of all shades. I put of all shades there. Lai Mohammed says that hate speech information embedded in campaign messages. That is true. We need to be careful.
Wait, why am I hearing the names of APC people? Let me see.
That's what is in the story now.
I'm saying it's like you are picking APC name there.
Okay, read.
Let me read the other name. APC, everywhere, APC.
Yes.
So there are no other parties there.
I don't know. This paper, you gave me the paper.
I'm just asking whether you
picked the story and gave me the paper.
I'm just asking that, you know, maybe there's, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good figure.
Anyway, so that's what we have here.
I'm just hearing all of them.
But you take your story back.
Hey, no, let's keep it there. We've taken it already. So this other story too is very important.
But it's a good observation you made, though.
Yeah.
And this is happening. I haven't confirmed. Did you see the notice that said that the NUJ were going to have their yearly summit or so?
I know.
And one of the presidential candidates will be the guest speaker at the event. I haven't authenticated it.
Okay, I've not seen that.
Yes, but I think if that is what it is, it would be very unfortunate.
It will be unfortunate.
Very, very unfortunate.
Nah, it will be
unfortunate. I don't want to cause a stir by mentioning who that candidate is.
Maybe a particular state chapter, not National NUJ.
No, I think it was the National NUJ, yes.
Oh, that would be unfortunate.
Yes. But I need to authenticate, authenticate that.
Okay. If you're listening, please let it not be true, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to page 8 of this day newspaper. No, let's read Vanguard first. FG plans ban on Pomo to revive leather industry.
I'm about off out. You see, in principle, there are enough economic reasons for you to say you want to ban Pomo, and fair enough, people say it has no nutrients. But guess what? Pomo is the cheapest form of meat that you can buy. It's the cheapest. There's nothing cheaper than Pomo. Apart from, I don't even think Fuku and Edo, those ones will even be more expensive than Pomo. And therefore, to have a semblance of a balanced meal, Pomo is what the poorest of us would. I'm talking about poorest, but everybody eats Pomo. I eat Pomo. I like the one that is round like that. But the that is the least that they can have. So if you deny them that, what else do you want them to, you know, give themselves? Nobody. Do you know that you can't serve me rice now without putting a protein on top of it? Even if I'm not going to eat it, put it. When I finish eating, you can take it away. I'd like them to reconsider this. The those who are at the rock bottom of the whatever will be the most affected. Then it won't even make some meals, it won't make some soups sweet. How can you cook afang without putting pomo inside?
There's periwinkle. You can do periwinkle.
No, the job of periwinkle is different from the job of pomo.
Are we talking about job now?
Yeah, it's a job to make it.
You can put stockfish, you can put periwinkle.
Where's the money for stockfish?
You can put.
How can you cook ogbono?
Isam, you can put Isam.
Isam is periwinkle.
It's periwinkle. Sorry, me more coco.
No, I'd like to plead that, please, for now, I mean, let's develop. I think the textile, back in the day, when you had the textile mills and so on, the leather, whatever.
Yeah.
There was enough to go around. There was enough for leather and enough for pomo. Why the sudden ban on pomo? I'd like, don't let's frustrate our people any further than this and leave this thing for God's sake. Because when you go and buy rice or something and you don't have enough money, say, ban for pomo cost. And you have the same plan that
I think a thriving economy will naturally discourage too much consumption of pomo. If the economy is thriving, a lot of people, even if you love pomo, and you can afford, you know, good meal. If you have to put pomo in your meal, you won't have to put more than one or two.
Is also,
just for the love of it, that's when you eat it.
But pomo has seasoning effects on food.
Yeah, but it doesn't have any nutritional benefit.
No, it doesn't have, but it has a seasoning effect, the aroma.
Why are you doing like that? Oh my God. Did you guys see what you just did?
I'm salivating. It's like... sometimes they can cut pomo in small pieces. You just eat it. It's part of our culture. It's not everything that everybody eats that has nutrients.
Yeah, so
I don't think so.
So I think I agree with you. There are other food condiments that you can add to your food that can give it taste.
Why should I be denied one just because you want to have leather to make shoes?
So you can have synthetic leather. So what I'm saying is this, right? I'm saying that if the economy is buoyant enough, people will be able to afford something even better than pomo to add to their food.
It has pomo at some levels has nothing to do with economic balance. If you go to the house of the
reason we eat pomo this much is because of the economy. 100%.
Maybe not.
100%. It is why we eat too much pomo.
If you go,
it's economy. If you can afford to kill,
if you go to Metropolitan Hotel to eat in Calabar to eat afang, pomo must be there.
It's part of the in some culture. It's part of how they cook their food.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about the cultures now. We're talking about people's ability to be able to afford other forms of meat.
I will floor you now.
So let me land first. And then you're now floor me. So in those cultures, they can add it to their food.
Yes.
And that will be minute. Yes. Compared to when everybody that is not part of your culture and everything, not part of your delicacy, now start eating the way we eat it now. If we are to say that some cultures can, they can't do without it, and adding it to their whatever delicacies, it's okay, it's fine. But me, I don't have to eat it.
Nobody is forcing you to.
No, that's the thing. The economy is forcing me to. Do you get what I'm saying? Like if I can afford something bigger and better, I may not have to eat more.
If you want protein, you can eat beans. You can eat the big man.
I'm talking about meat now, not beans or anything.
You don't have to eat meat
for quality good protein. I'm talking about some of us beans can make us feel bloated and all of that. So you can
eat turkey.
If we want to eat for those who like lean meat, yes. For some of us who like red and all kinds of meat.
Let me floor you.
If we can afford it.
You have said all the torrenty, let me floor you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know there's a world campaign coming up?
Yeah.
Brewing about using animal skin as whatever for shoes.
Yes.
And people now are looking towards synthetic leather. So that's the time when you now want to bank more to have more leather.
So because our technology is not up to that anymore, I mean, we can't even make synthetic anything, let alone synthetic leather. We have animals here that we can use their skin to make our leather industry boom.
You're a cruel man. This is cruelty to animals.
No, I'm not.
Why don't you say that you use human skin?
So why would anybody use human skin?
We can use this portion now. You can cut it.
Which portion? Excuse me. Which portion?
You can use it to
pass. My own skin. No way. See, I'm saying that before government can say that they want to ban something, make it inexcusable. The economy buoyant.
Let me be honest with you. There's no need to be this dramatic to ban. There is no need to be this dramatic to ban. Those who need this thing for leather, if they up the price of pomo, will automatically disappear, and you have enough.
Somebody is saying that pomo is even more expensive.
No, pomo is not.
That's what this person is saying now. Ayo said pomo is even more expensive than normal meat. I don't think Ayo has been to the market lately.
No, he hasn't been.
I mean, how can you say pomo is come on now. Everybody knows
when that. I was in uni, like cooking food for me and my friends, all we used to eat is ogbono and pomo, and I cooked it. It's the cheapest form.
Yeah. It's always been the pomo will always be cheap.
I might get pomo.
Cut it and dice it and put it inside a 40-year-old. Make it roll.
And also that it's also good with the green bottle. Pepet pomo. You use toothpick to
okay. I mean, yeah. We shall see. Let's go to page 10. Challenges confronting Nigeria too many for civilian government to tackle. Banire.
Banire has set me thinking. Banire is a senior advocate of Nigeria and the politician. He's a former Lagos State Commissioner for Environment. His thoughts seem to align with mine. I'm not too pleased about the kind of democracy that we're practicing 20-something years now down the line. I'm not too pleased. But then again, look at my age and look at the nostalgic feeling that I'll have. But that's a story for another day. That's not to endorse that kind of government, but maybe we need to tinker with what we have. So he says here at the symposium, the MSSN symposium in Ibadan, he says that considering the challenges in the country, the civilian administration may not be able. He didn't say we shouldn't have a civilian administration. He says the civilian administration may not be able to address them in a manner, that's the challenges, in a manner that is beneficial and sufficient for Nigerians. And he said that Banire said that voting for the right candidate would help the country get to its desired destination and address the agitation on ethno-religious and imperative of inclusiveness. And he says, considering all the challenges this nation is confronting with, I suspect that the civilian administration might not be able to address them in a manner that is beneficial and sufficient. I'm beginning to think that we must have a person that will act as a dictator that can help us resolve this. This is in line with my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it's my thinking. That's my thinking. I think we don't need a humane president. We need somebody who has a drive. You know, under civilian dispensation, yes, but somebody who has the drive and can, can enforce the law to the letter, not flip-flopping, not anybody who's going to be flip-flopping. Mm. But he then says that these competent Nigerians, unfortunately, are not likely to emerge in the kind of political system we practice. Mm. And he says restructuring is treated already against those who can do it, and to that extent, most of them won't even come forward. We wonder what you think.
Hmm.
I think we'll bring Banire to the studio, bring him to the discussion.
That'd be nice. He's been in the news lately.
Yeah,
let's stop here for now because we're completely out of time. Thank you so much for coming.
All right.
I'm Sharif Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Lissou. Good morning.
Let's talk insurance when we return. Stay here.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, get fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not